Now, please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we read a little earlier, Psalm 18. As I say, we began our study of this psalm last Sunday, and I expect we'll be in it at least a couple of more weeks. It is quite a long psalm. I was making the point last week that this possibly was the very last psalm that David wrote. It is produced almost in its entirety, right at the end of 2 Samuel, where we read about David's death, and we have all the closing words of David, and this psalm is there almost in its entirety, just one or two little adjustments, but this psalm is there. And so this psalm, David is looking back over his life, over his 40 years as king, and then his life before he became king, when he was a shepherd, and when he defeated Goliath, when he was on the run from Saul, all those years, it's a kind of a summary of David's life. And last week, we looked primarily at verses 1 to 3, and we saw some of the main features of David's life. We looked at the fact that David was a man who loved the Lord. He begins the psalm, "I love you, O Lord." And we saw that David was a man who knew the Lord. In verse 2, there are these 9 names of God in one verse. And we saw also that David was a man of prayer. And that's the theme that I want to pick up this morning as we study from verse 12 onwards. When you read the Old Testament, you read about various characters, various great men and women of God in the Old Testament. And these are all there for two purposes. They are there to point us to Christ. Each of the major characters of the Old Testament is there to point us to Jesus Christ. But there's a second reason why each character is there, and it is that they are there to teach us about the Christian life. They are there as examples for us to teach us how to live as a Christian here on earth. So, for example, if you're studying Abraham, well, Abraham teaches us about faith, and Abraham teaches us how we are to obey God when we don't know where he's leading us. Or if we're reading about Joseph in the book of Genesis, we read about how this man went through all these various trials. And the great lesson is, God knows what he is doing. We may not understand what God is doing at any one particular point in our lives. We may not see the purposes of God, but God knows what he's doing. That's the great lesson from the life of Joseph. And then we come to Moses. And the writer to the Hebrews says, Moses left the passing pleasures of sin for the sake of Christ. That's one of the great lessons from Moses. We don't pursue the passing pleasures of sin, but we leave as he did. He left Pharaoh's palace and joined a despised people, slaves, because they were God's people. And David, I would suggest, is there in the Old Testament to teach us about prayer. There are, of course, many other lessons that we learn from David's life. But it's interesting that we have so many prayers of David recorded in the Bible. There are 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. Now, let me ask you this question. Just have a guess, how many of those 150 Psalms did David write? I wonder if you know, how many Psalms of the 150 did David write? The answer is one half, exactly 75. 75 Psalms. So you see, we have all these prayers of David in the book of Psalms. Now they're there surely to teach us about prayer. We are to read these Psalms and we are to learn lessons from these Psalms on how we are to pray and why we are to pray and what we are to do when we come before God in prayer. Surely these Psalms are written for that purpose, to encourage us and to help us in our praying. Now, this morning, the theme of my sermon is this: why we must give ourselves to prayer. Because David was a man who gave himself to prayer. Do you remember last week? I was looking at verse 3. I call upon the Lord. And I was making the point that this isn't just a one-off, it's a habit. It's rather like the man who says, I play golf. He goes regularly to the golf course to play golf. And here is David saying, I call upon the Lord. It's my regular habit. It's my lifestyle. It's something that I do often, daily, more than once. I call upon the Lord. David was a man of prayer. He gave himself to prayer. He was committed to prayer. And so this morning I want us to look at this. Why we must follow David in this example, why we must give ourselves to prayer and be committed to prayer. And in the verses that we're looking at, verses 4 to 12, I want to bring three reasons for you. Three reasons why we must give ourselves to prayer. And the first reason is this: we must give ourselves to prayer because we have many enemies. We must give ourselves to prayer because we have many enemies. Look at verses 4 and 5. He says in verses 4 and 5, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. Now you see what he's saying here. Remember, he's looking back over his life. This is right at the end of his life. He's looking back over his life. And he says to the Lord, there have been many occasions when I was staring death in the face. And this wasn't just a minor danger, but there was real danger. What is the first time that we see David? When is the first time we see David? We see the first time David appears in the scriptures when he fights Goliath. So he comes on the scene in a war, in a fight. His life in danger. There is this giant Goliath in front of him, and David is in a war. This is the first time we see David in this fight against Goliath. He defeats Goliath. And you would have thought things will go well for him. But then Saul, who is the king on the throne, is jealous of David because he knows David has been anointed king. And so for the next 10 or so years, Saul pursues David. And frequently again, David's life is in danger. Well, finally, David becomes king. And of course, it doesn't end then. The first 7 years, the nation is divided. There's a huge amount of instability and the potential civil war in his nation. And even when the nation is united, you read about wars against David. There was one occasion when the Ammonites and the Syrians put together an army, colluded and put together an army and came against David to war against him. Now, this was just one of many wars that David faced. And of course, David faced rebellion from within his own people. Absalom rebelled against him. Shimei rebelled against him. So throughout his life, David had known danger. And David had faced danger with prayer. This, I think, is the great, great lesson we need to learn from David. David doesn't become discouraged. David doesn't become depressed. David doesn't become unkind, ungracious to his fellow Christians, to his fellow Israelites. David doesn't start ranting at people and shouting at people because he's in trouble. You don't read that anywhere in the Bible. You don't read throughout David's life. You don't read anywhere that he starts having a go at people because he has problems in his life. You do find Psalms written at various points during his life. Psalms written when he was on the run from Saul, Psalms written when he was on the run from Absalom. Psalms written when he was guilty of sin with Bathsheba. Whenever he had problems in his life, David didn't become discouraged. David didn't become depressed. David didn't become unchristian in his behavior. David prayed. And you can see the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, in collecting all these prayers. Well, he inspired David to pray because this is the word of God. And then collecting all these prayers and having all of them in the book of Psalms so that we may learn this habit of prayer. You know, like David, we have many enemies. Now, we probably won't face a threat to our lives in the way that he did. But we have many enemies. The devil is against us because we are Christians. And the world is against us because we are Christians. This country and our government isn't going to be sympathetic to evangelical biblical Christianity. And we have sin indwelling us. And that always wages war against us. Now, we can either become totally depressed and discouraged and unchristian, or we can do what David did and develop the habit of prayer so that it becomes second nature, instinctive. The moment there's a problem, we send up a prayer. We give ourselves to prayer. We set aside time for prayer and we concentrate on building up a prayer life. David prayed because he had many enemies, and we must pray because we have many enemies. The second thing, the second reason why we must pray because we have a prayer-hearing God. We must pray because we have a prayer-hearing God. Look with me at verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. You see, he's talking about all those times when he had distresses and trials. I called upon the Lord. I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Now, those two lines at the end of verse 6 are actually very beautiful. I'm very grateful to a member of this church who drew my attention to those lines. And I looked at them and I meditated on them. I thought, these are really very wonderful verses here that David has written. Because David is talking about what happens when we pray. And he is saying to us that what happens when you pray is that your prayers go to heaven. You see, he says from his temple, he heard my voice. The temple in David's day was the dwelling place of God. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was. It's where the presence of God was. Now, there wasn't a temple in Jerusalem in those days. Solomon built that. But in David's day, first, there was a sanctuary in a town called Shiloh. And we know that the presence of God was there. Because when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant, a man touched it and dropped dead. This was the presence of God. So David says, when I pray, my prayer goes to God's dwelling place. But you know, that isn't enough. Imagine you wrote a letter to Her Majesty the Queen and you went to Buckingham Palace and you gave it to the guard at the gate and he said, would you please make sure Her Majesty gets this letter? Well, I assume he would give it to one of the footmen and the footman would give it to one of the secretaries and the secretary might give it to one of the advisors or something like that. But it's highly unlikely Her Majesty herself would read your letter unless it was that urgent. So you see, your letter got to Buckingham Palace, but it didn't actually get to the Queen herself. But David, you see what he says here? He says, from his temple, he heard my voice. My prayer went to God's dwelling place. But more than that, you see, then he intensifies it. He says, and my cry to him reached his ears, actually went to the ears of God. I want to tell you something this morning. Every prayer that you have ever prayed in Jesus' name has reached the ears of God. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Every prayer that you have brought in the name of Jesus, God has heard that prayer. God knows your voice. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. You know how sometimes you're in Tesco's and you're picking some fruit or something and you hear a conversation behind you, think, I know that voice. That's somebody in my church or somebody in my family. And you turn around and there is this person in your church and you recognize their voice. Our brains work like this. God recognizes your voice. God recognizes the voice of the billions of children that he has here on earth. Every one of them prays, and every one of them, their prayer reaches the ears of God. God hears what they are saying. God knows your accent. God knows your language. God knows your heart. God knows the passion that is in your heart. God knows the trials that are there in your life. God knows the hurt that you have when you come to him in prayer. God knows you when you come to him. Your prayer reaches his ear. It's a lovely phrase. I've thought much about it this week. My cry to him reached his ears. And David says, it wasn't the case that when I prayed, my prayer went to heaven and one of the angels heard it and it stayed there. Or one of the saints, Abraham or Moses, heard it and it stayed there. No, it reached the ears of God. And this is why in biblical Christianity, we don't say pray to Mary and pray to the saints. We don't pray to Mary and we don't pray to the saints. We pray to God. Because God has said, come and pray to me. Why should we go to Mary and the saints if we have God saying, I will hear your prayer? And God does hear our prayer. My friend, you have every encouragement to pray. Imagine if the Queen wrote to you and the Queen said, look, if you write to me a letter in the next week, I promise you it'll come to me and I personally will open that letter and read it. Wouldn't you write? You've got a guarantee. She will read it. It won't go to a footman or a secretary. She herself will take the letter opener and read the letter. But God says that to you. God says your prayer will come to my ears. So we must pray because we have many enemies. We must pray because we have a prayer hearing God. And then thirdly and finally, we must pray because we have a prayer answering God. We have a prayer answering God. Look at it from verse 7. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. Now what is all this? Well, this is poetic language. This is David using poetic language to say, God answered my prayer. You know how in poetry, you have an experience, and then a poet takes that experience and uses outlandish kind of language, conceptual type of language, to summarize your experience. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed in light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Now when you sing those words, you immediately say, that's me. But you were never in a dungeon. You never had chains on your wrists and your ankles. It wasn't the case that literally the light from heaven came into the dungeon and opened your chains and set the dungeon aflame in light. That didn't literally happen. But you see, when we see the poetic language, we immediately say, that is my experience. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Yes, I was a slave of sin. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed in light. Yes, there came a day when the light of God's revelation flooded my heart and my mind. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Yes, I knew salvation, the forgiveness of sin. I knew freedom in Christ, and I came to him and loved him. So you see, the poetic language expresses an experience. And that's what David is doing here. David is using poetic language. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also, the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down and so on. And David is basically in all those verses, there's quite a few verses there. But in all those verses, David is saying this, God heard my prayer and God answered my prayer. I went before Goliath praying. God heard my prayer. Saul was pursuing me through the Judean wilderness. I prayed. God spared my life. God heard my prayer. I became king, but the kingdom was still divided. I prayed. God heard my prayer. It became a united kingdom. The Ammonites and the Syrians assembled their armies before me, totally unprovoked. I prayed. God heard my prayer. We defeated them. Absalom rose against me, and I fled from Jerusalem. I prayed, and God heard my prayer, and I became king once again in Jerusalem. Shimei rebelled against me. I prayed, and God once again installed me as king. You see, this is what he's saying. He's saying, God worked in mighty, mighty power. When I prayed, God heard my prayer and God answered my prayer. At the end of 40 years as king, he says, here I am giving testimony to the power of God and the grace of God. That's what these verses are about. God answering prayer. My friends, we have a prayer answering God in heaven. Do you know far more prayers are answered than we'll ever know? The main reason, in fact, the only reason why we are still here as Christians today is because God answers prayer. We can't sustain ourselves in the Christian life. God sustains us. We can't sustain ourselves in anything that we do for Christ. God sustains us. We can't save ourselves. God saves us. Everything that happens in our lives happens through the work of God, the power of God, the energy of God, the grace of God in answer to prayer. A prayerless Christian is a truly remarkable phenomenon because there are so many encouragements to prayer in the Bible. David knew answers to prayer. You've known answers to prayer. I've known answers to prayer. Now, I know there were times when God didn't answer as David had expected or wanted. You remember there was a time when he had a little child and that little child was ill and he fasted and prayed that the child might be spared and the child wasn't. So it is in God's hands. God is sovereign. We can't command him. And there are times when God, in his grace and mercy and wisdom, doesn't answer as we had expected. And God didn't always answer when David wanted the answer. He was on the run from Saul for 10 years. He was praying that he might be delivered from this early in those years. It went on year after year after year. He was on the run from Saul. But he kept praying. He never stopped praying. And all these Psalms were written. And they are there as an example for us. So my friends, I want to encourage you to give yourself to prayer. We must pray because we have many enemies. We must pray because we have a prayer-hearing God. And we must pray because we have a prayer answering God. Praise God for his grace.